My name is Alex Scott. I was born in 1924. I was born in Fortress Road in a private house. That'd be Kedgish Town, North London. My father's name was William Alexander Scott. Mother's name was Florence Wood. I had one sister, Joyce, who was 3 years older than her.
What job did your dad do?
He was on cartage there on the LMS at Oval Road with a pair of horses and a mate, delivering by horse and cart to North London, Peckham, High Street, and round about there, at Waltham.
Quite a way to go, that.
Quite a way to go, yeah, for a pair of horses. Yeah, they delivered in the morning and collection in the afternoon.
And what kind of stuff did they deliver?
All sorts of commercial and packages, parcels, goods, family goods, mechanics and, mechanical things and items. I should think about 3.5 tonnes.
And when you say Oval Road, where was that in relation to where you lived then?
Well, Oval Road was, it joins up with Gloucester Avenue. The home we were at was, first home was number 50, Gloucester Avenue, 143 and 145, which we ended up in.
Did you share the house with other people?
Well, yeah, it was on floors, about three floors. The houses were quite big, you see, and there were about three families there. We had one episode, that's where one foreign woman threw herself out the window. And I just said to me, father, there's something flown by the window. He said, it was a body. Oh, yeah, I never forgot that.
Where was the railway part of things then, in Oval Road?
That was right at the bottom, near where the shunting yard is. That's where the loading bays were. You backed your wagon up against the loading bay and loaded up for the places you were going to.
Where did you go to school?
Princess Road School. Well, I was a youngster then, because like all boys in them days, you used to play truant, And then we'd go behind a horse and cart, without the driving looking, run up there and get hold of the tower lift, put our legs up on the axle and go down, as far down as St John's Wood, Lord's Cricket Ground. We used to get down to the Zoological Gardens. We never used to pay there. We used to go run down, get down to the canal, go over the canal bridge, which it was a double bridge, one for the zoo and one for the ordinary, for the park, and then drive through the fence, get in there, and then think, oh, we're in the zoo, we can have a nice day. Then the park keeper would say, oh, you bloody chase us out, But we used to get in there and see what they did, so that was that.
What did your mum do?
My mum there, she's a lovely darling, she worked at Gilbridge Roundhouse, do all the wines, so we all did quite well with wines and everything, and she said she was a packer, And then she left there, then left the job there and then went on to with my father, as a van girl.
Oh, she went to work on the railway with your dad?
Yes. As soon as the scandals come out, she went with Dad,
Was that during the war, then?
Yeah, that was... just... When the war started, then they let women come on. The women did a lot of things, so they had... Mum went on as a van girl. If Dad started to swear, Mum would say, be careful, Bill, now. Now, William, stop swearing now, Ladies present.
Tell me a little bit about what your house was like, and would you say you were poor?
Oh, yeah, yeah. The meals we had, flakes and Kellogg's flakes and things like that. The tablecloths were newspaper. We didn't have tablecloths in them days. We had newspapers on there, which were very posh. 50 Gloucester Avenue was gas. The food was cooked in the fire grate. There was an oven there. You used to light the fire, and that's how we used to cook their meals, The toilets were inside the house. There was no outside toilets. When we moved then down the road to 143, we had an outside toilet and an outside bath, which was about the only one that has been built, So that we used to cause all the neighbours to come in and have a bath, which we used to charge 1 and 6 pence, something like that.
Nowadays, that part of London is quite posh. But what was it like when you were growing up?
Working class families, when we went to see the house there, we got stopped by the builder and we said, yes, what do you want? He said, I said, I used to live here. I said, my father could have bought this playhouse for £500, which we couldn't afford. And I said, what's it going for now? Well, he said, there used to be 12 bedrooms, he said, in his house. He said, there's now about 24 bedrooms now. Well, what's this going to be worth? He said, about £1 million, he said, you know. And we did have one lovely time once. My father won £1,500 on penny points, on Littlewood's penny points. We shared it with Aunt Alice, and they shared it there. And we had 2 weeks in Southend-on-Sea. And we were tipping threepenny bits to the waitresses, and they thought, oh, that was a lovely thing.
Did you go on holiday much with your mum and dad?
Holiday times was summertime, and so always on every Sunday, we used to walk to Kentish Town Station at 6 o'clock in the morning and collect the train, and it was packed. And all stations into South End. We'd get out there, and then we walked to Thorpe Bay, and then came home at night, scratching our backsides, you know, all the sand. That was that.
Did your mum and dad take you into the centre of London then as well?
Not really.
The theatres or anything like that? You didn't do that?
Oh, yes. We went to the only theatre we went to was the Kentish Town Theatre. Oh, we went up in what they call the Gods, like, you know, up in there, and the days of Maxie Miller.
What do you know about your family before you were born? What do you know about your dad's father?
Ah, well, dad's father was, which I've got the initials are, what was it, Alexander Richmond Scott. Granddad worked in India as an army man. He was a guard on the Indian State Railways. His wife, like, she was 27, and they'd had 4 children, including dad, and she died of a bubonic plague on the ship.
That's your grandma, then?
That's my grandma, yeah. Granddad came home, and at the same time, well, I don't know how Dad ran away, but he ran away from Granddad. Dad went on his own way, like, and...
Did your dad ever talk about growing up in India?
No. He never told us anything like that, you know, because then the war came about, and the 1914 war, wasn't it?
And what did your dad do in that?
Well, he was in the Royal Horse Artillery there. What they call the sergeant gunner. 6 horses, isn't it? And pulled the gun carriages, like, you know.
So he learnt, your father then, learnt the horse trade in the army.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
So when he came out of the army, getting a job with the horses on the railway.
On the railway, yeah.
Was a natural thing to do.
Yeah, that was it, yeah. I did a paper round when I was a youngster. I used to do up Avenue Road, 45 customers, starting at 4 o'clock in the morning, delivering newspapers. And then we used to go there till we get to the first road. I don't know. It led up to Primrose Hill. But there, where the trains come out of the tunnel, you used to sit on the wall there. You can watch the trains there. And we've done it many a time, you know. Oh, there was all sorts. The Royal Scots. You got the number 6100, 6105, and I like the 6200 and things like that. You got the numbers, so you just see them there. And of course, there was a gents' toilet there, and you had plenty of room to sit on the wall, like, and you wash them down. The Pembroke Castle, like the pub, you could get up there. It's like a toilet, but you could get up and sit on the wall, like, you know. And we often used to do that. There'd be three of us there, and it's quite easy to get up there, and the publican didn't mind, you know. And it was then we just sit there with our old books and wrote down. You got the shed, you got the main line, you got the electric lines, you got that up fast and down fast. Then you had the shunting yard, then you had Chalk Farm Station. So you've got all that there. And you knew the trains that went to Fenchurch Street, Broad Street. There you see there all the wagons were going onto the dock. the cartridge men would load up then, and you could see all that there taking place, and what was taking place in the yard. The engines would come on off the main line up the bank onto the turntable and turn it around, then under the coal elevator, fill up the coal. Mostly it was Midland red. The coaches were Midland red, you know. Then the electric trains, they were brown. The Oerlikons, like, you know, and Oerlikons, they used to call them. They were a Swiss type of electric trains. There were six coaches that, you know, used to go from Euston to Watford, Bickmansworth, and all went that way. Well, I left school at 14, and I wanted the main thing to go on to the railway, like all the everybody did. And I asked my father, and he said, "Well, son," he said, "the point is," he said, "I'm a railway man. There's one railway man on that now," he said, "and that's what we stick with. I'd like you to see to get a job first." We got a job there, and we see it in the paper, a printing works, and we went up Fortress Road, and it was a factory offer there. Got the job there. It came back, they said, "Oh, we got a consignment of gold coming in. Now, the gold had to be sifted." "Oh, I know, young Scott," he said, "you'll let a job. We'll give you an asbestos suit and a mask and everything, and gloves," he said. The first day then, I went home. My mother said, "What the heck have you been doing?" Well, I was covered in gold dust, really. Dad came in and he said, "What have you been doing?" "What's that, son?" I said, "Well, I told him there." "Well," he said, "this, it won't always happen." He said, "Well, don't chuck your job in, like, you know, just like that." I said, "All right, okay."
What was the gold for? What did they use it for?
For the printing. We were doing the Indian State Railway transfer. That's a big transfer on there. So give it a chance then. Oh, I said, "All right," went back. Off I started again, and it happened again. And that was that. I was going to say to him now, "I don't want the job now, you know."
Because so what did you do then?
Then I went on to, I still would have called the footplate, Dad. He said, "I know that," but he said, "Let's see how you do." He said, "Well, up the road was a place called the Express Dairy, milk floats. They did all the painting of the wheels and all like this and all the sign writing and everything." So I went there and I said, "He got a job?" He said, because Mother came with me, because she said to me, "Well, he's a bit of an artist, you see." I did that for about a couple of months. But then I said, and then my father, we had a talk with my dad, like, and I was coming up to between 14 and 15. My dad, so he went to Camden Shed, see the manager, and the manager said, "Yes," he said. And he said, "Where do you live?" And he said, "Well, we just live outside in Gloucester Avenue, you know, just past Glansdown Pub." "Oh, well," he said, "he's local then." "Yes, by all means," he said. "Tell him to come down here," he said, "and then we're giving him an exam." And so I went down there, and that was it. So they signed me on. So I got there Monday, they got there early. I got in the shed there. I was walked all round, and I thought, cool, this is Camden Shed, you know, looking at there. We used to climb the steps when we were youngsters, go up there, and, you know, and they used to chase us off, you see, you're not allowed up there. So yeah. I went in the shed. And looking around, I thought, oh, dear, then I fell arse over it, over something was on the ground. So down I went, and the old boy there, with a cap on, and he said, "What are you doing down there? What's your name?" I said, "Alex Scott." He said, "Well, Alex Scott, what are you doing on the floor?" he said. And I said, "Well," I said, "I've just started." He said, "Well, it won't be long before you're leaving," he said. "So your job," he said, "well, you're a cleaner." "Oh, yes, I know," he said. "Well, have you signed on?" He said, "No, I've just come in the door." He said, "You sign on now." Then after you've signed on, he said, "You go upstairs, the canteen," he said, "and there's two books there, study the rules of the railway." And that's, he said, "you spend the day there." And that was my starting as a cleaner. The next day, the foreman said, "Right," he said, "you know what your job is now? Cleaning. They draw your oil." You used to have stuff called Jaffa. It was like a paraffin with an oil in it, you see. So when you was a cleaner there, what you do there as a cleaner, you get the oil, you get in the pit, you clean all the wheels and everything what's underneath the engine and the motion and bars and everything. And that's your job.
And what was that like in Camden Shed? Was it cold and dirty?
Oh, it was cold. There was no doors each end. very cold. And it was a wintry time when I was there, and because we had the foreman noticing it, used to get an old bucket, punch holes into it, get some firelighters and light a fire in it, and put a bit of coal on top. And the foreman didn't. They it was found upon, you know. So, but they never said take it away because they knew it was bloody cold. You see, so that's what we did. So when we were cleaning and come out, warm your hands. Oh, bloody hell! But then we got ovals. Well, you had to scrounge your ovals off drivers and firemen, your bib and brace and everything, gloves, and what gloves there was. There wasn't many. Goes all the claws that you have there, but you had to scrounge everything, your hats, everything, your shiny top hats. You had to, you'd say to Jack, have you got an old hat? Yeah, Matt Bush, somebody's got an old hat. They give an old hat. So that was that.
And you talked about the Jafer. What did you actually clean the engines with?
Well, it was like a paraffin with a sort of mixture of an oil. The name, it was on the side of the barrel, like, it's called Jafer. Well, it was the name of a firm, like, you know. When you clean with that, when you're a cleaner, you're on the bottom half, all the wheels, rods and everything.
But what did you use to actually clean it with?
Claws. We had old claws, like, which they had, and they were cloth, like, what's it? What they like? They're woven claws, aren't they? So we had woven claws, right? And then you get your claws, and then all that. One there you put it on, and one you just wipe it off, like. But it left a shine, like, instead of putting like wax or anything on like that. That's how you cleaned them down. And the top half, you never did the top half. It's when you become a pass cleaner, then you get the top half. Then you don't do the bottom half.
And but, did you work on your own or work with other boys?
No, you got about, we had about 25 cleaners then on the shed. But they used to batch you off of like five cleaners to an engine. You used to do two engines a day. Oh, yeah, we had some excitement there, you know, and everything. Like, we used to have battle wars. I was throwing claws at each other, you know, from each engine, like, till the foreman, his foreman's come in and he'd say, oh, that's... They knew what was going on, that fight there, but it was something just to liven them up, like, you know.
And what about health and safety and sort of making sure that you didn't harm yourselves?
There was no such thing as health and safety then. If there was today, they was to be, see the health and safety, they said, Jesus Christ, you know, you never had no tin hats or anything like that. You had tin hats because it was wartime, but you didn't wear them. You had a shiny top hat, and that was it, you see. Also, there was another job when you was a cleaner. After you'd done your cleaning, you might say, like, OK, they said, now, you said, you've got a week next week, fireboxing. Now, fireboxing, they give you asbestos suit, you get a hat, you get a lamp with a wick hanging out the end, and you lit the wick, and that was full of paraffin, and you lit the wick, and that was your flame, that was your light. See, and then you get into the far old door, you take the baffle plate out, you take the lip plate out, and you get into there, and your job then is to clean everything under the fire bars, all the stays in the boiler, in the fire bar, and over the brick arch, take all the ash out, tap everything. So that was your job, you see. But the next week there, you've got a christening. Well, I got in the firebox, you see, usual thing, got in there, and I sat on the brick arch, and I was tapping away there, and I thought, so the bloody steam raiser, because you had steam raisers in them days to build the fire up, you see. They put coal and light them up in there in the firebox ready to build your fire up ready for the journey light, but for the fireman light. So the steam raiser did that. So I looked round, and as I looked round there, there was smoke coming from the fire. I thought, Jesus Christ. I thought, oh, my God. So I went to get out the door, somebody had closed the doors, you see. I whipped half a dozen fire bars up, threw them aside, and dived down their feet first into this ash pan, and then slid out. And when I got to the bottom, I fell into about a foot of water. Everybody in the shed there, there were 30 people, but the cleaner said, yay, he's made it, you see. So,
but you thought you were going to be cooked inside the firebox.
Oh, bloody hell, yeah, because I came out, and my asbestos suit, when I went out, that was hanging over my head and everything. Whoosh! I went in there and I came out soaking wet, you see, but they got me all out. They got me out, then got out stuff, like, cleaned me up, right, wiped me down, went up the toilets and everything.
What about the rules and regulations in the shed? What kind of things were you not supposed to do?
Climb the coal tower, not to go on the roof. Don't never jump the pit. Pit in between engines, you see. So, well, me and another young lad there, we were walking past two engines, and this fitter decided to jump the pit. In the meantime, they were pushing in another engine, and he got taught between the buffers.
He got squashed?
Got squashed. They knew what happened. He just went, he made a noise like that. And then, because both buffers came up, the first aid ship people sung a blanket all round him like. And he stood there and he said to us, he said, "Go away, lads," he said. "You know, don't want to see this," he said. And as we walked away, they pulled the engines apart and he went, "Ah." Oh. That was it. He was gone then.
He died?
He died, yeah. He was nearly dead, like, when... I mean, the buffers, in fact, the stomach and everything was all squashed up. But he had just enough breath in him to say, you know, don't go away, like, you know. So that was our experience for... That was it.
And
that
you'd
was
only
horrible.
Been, you'd only been there a few weeks?
Yes. That was the second week we was there. Yeah, that was horrible, that was. I've seen it this day, like, you know. So, indeed. And there was another one as well. A cleaner was inside doing the firebox. We were got down thinking that one of the cleaners had put a sign up onto the buffers to say, "Do not move the engine." Either one of us would put the board up, just clip them on the cab, like. And it said, well, we didn't. We just both got in the pit, started cleaning away. Next minute, there was a hoot, and the shunting engine just started taking the engine away. Because when we came out, the foreman really gave us a right bawling out, like he said, "We've told you a time and time again." We said, "Well, I thought," and he said, "Well, I thought, yeah, you both thought you did it. You didn't do it, did you?" "No, we didn't." "You'll do it in the future, won't you?" "Oh, yeah." The engine we're working on with all the expresses. There'd be the Royal Scots, there'd be the Baby Scots, Duchesses, 5XPs, there were the Jubilee classes. All them engines, tank engines as well, genties, what was in the shed, appertaining to the shed itself, and all the public that was coming from Liverpool, Manchester, mostly passengers, tender engines they were, and they're most usually for passengers, because you'll have a thing on the smoke box to tell them what shed it's come from. Ours was 1B, Watford was 1C, 1A was Willesden. And it went on like that.
And in Camden, did you have to clean engines from other sheds?
Oh, yeah. Other engines coming in to... we'd have to all... foreign engines, as I say, that's come off the... Oh, yeah, if it was a Manchester engine, you'd... Yes, oh, yes, it was a cable. But the foreman just said, "Get that one done, you know, and clean that top and bottom." You had the Jaffa light, you just put it on and wipe it off, and that gives a nice sheen on it. And everything else, and the rods had to be cleaned, buffeted up, because the main thing on there was when the Royal Train was going out. Well, the Royal Train comprises over a week's work. Cleaners would do the wheels inside and out, rods all shining up. The boiler and everything has to be all done, painted up and everything.
And did you know that it would be working the Royal Train?
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. Hell, yeah. That comes under the... Royal Train, so you'll have about 20 cleaners on that. Be it doing all individual parts, bottom, top, all this sort of thing, you know.
And what kind of engines would they use on the Royal Train?
Oh, mostly, well, we had a stream, like King George V was one of them. Princesses, Duchesses, Royal Scots, yes. The Royal Scot itself, 6100, was a Camden engine, and they used to have that there. Every shed had an engine ready to take the Royal Train if the engine broke down, right up to where they were going, if it went like to Balmoral or anything like that, all the shed would be ready to supply an engine, already cleaned up. So if the Royal Train, the engine itself, had to break down, the engine would be ready to take on. And also, a light engine would be running about a quarter of an hour before the Royal Train goes along the track. What people didn't know, the Queen pays for that journey. She pays £1 a mile. The taxpayer doesn't pay that.
So when you were a cleaner then, you actually worked on engines that took the Royal Train?
Oh yeah. You were cleaner. Yeah. Well, with the cleaner, like, when you're doing all the wheels, that was your job, you see. And that had to be, yeah, buffing it up and everything.
And know. Did you go out and watch the train go by?
Yeah, we stood at the outside of the shed. The foremans would let you stand there and you just wave, you know. Nobody, you never see the Queen in there or anything, you know, but... That was it, you see, but you just waved, and it was a lovely sight, you know.
It'd be the king, though, wouldn't it, when you were there?
King, queen, and the two princesses. That's it. Well, our present queen, she was the eldest one, wasn't she?
Yeah.
Princess Elizabeth.